Testing 1, 2, 3. We are back, ladies, gentlemen. Hopefully, it is mostly young men here. Welcome back to the Prince to King podcast. It has been just over 2 years since my last podcast. I released, I think, six or eight podcasts 2 years ago and then fell off the face of the earth, but we are back. So, without further ado, let's get stuck into today's topic. So today I wanted to talk about where are all the good men? We hear this term all the time, mostly in female circles, granted, but I think men are also wondering, and especially young boys are looking up at adults and wondering where are the male role models? Where are the men that are meant to be inspiring me to be the best version of myself? Where are the ones that are making good money, fit and healthy, have a good family life, good connection with their kids, good values, right? And also connecting in with community. They are so far and few in between. It's crazy, right? For thousands of years, we grew up in communities. We grew up in small tribes, where you had all the male mentors that you needed. They could touch, see, and feel. They were there. Now we look online. We go to, here's my phone. We go to our phones, right? We go to our phones, we look online, we follow some influencers. And if you are anything like the young men in our program or young men that I see online across the world, the majority of the male role models that we're looking up to are not very good. So it begs a question, where are they? Where are the good male role models? Let me lower my desk here for a second. Where'd they go? What's going on here? So I just sent out a newsletter, which if you're not signed up to, go to my website, jump on and put your details in so that I can send you emails every week. But if I go to my newsletter, where to go? Where did all the good men go? Here we go. Great. This will act as like my little notes. Right. So I want to make the first point, which is an attempt to define what a good man is, or probably define what healthy masculinity is. And to me, that is the balance between heart and backbone. We need to, as men, be able to be both the lion and the lamb, both the leader and the servant. So, what does that actually mean? You may have heard those terms before. And for me, it is this four-dimensional man. In the past, in traditional masculinity, the examples that we see or that we think of when we even hear the term traditional masculinity is probably lacking heart. It might be our fathers, our grandfathers. It might even be what the media has told us traditional masculinity was, which was not a lot of heart, but they got shit done, right? And if you look at the 20th century, there was two world wars, the Vietnam War, a bunch of other wars, right? We went to Iraq, Afghanistan, earlier in this century. So a lot of the men went away and went to wars, right? They got shit done. They were very backbone orientated. However, when you look to stories, the one that immediately presents itself in my mind is Lord of the Rings. You look at Aragorn as the greatest depiction of healthy masculinity in the modern era. Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. That is a man who feels deeply when you watch that movie. You can see it. He's taking care of people. He's looking after the hobbits, right? He cries throughout that movie. This is a man that is deeply connected to his heart. And the more obvious and glaring thing is he is deeply connected to his backbone. He has a lot of grit, a lot of resilience. He is a warrior. And at the end of the movie, he is crowned king. And we look at male archetypes. He is that king archetype. He is the great modern example of a healthy king, right? In that strong, heartfelt masculinity. So for me, that is what the balance is. It's can we step into our hearts? And I want to kind of go 2.0 on the heart. This is not your head, men. This is not getting into your head and thinking things out and journaling and meditating. All very, very good for your self-awareness and absolutely necessary. Every single day I meditate, every single day I journal. They are incredible tools. However, heart, is as it sounds. It is dropping out of your head and into your body. And this is a lesson that I am only just now realizing the distinctions between our mind and being in our minds and our heads, the doing, the thinking, the self-awareness, the reflection, and actually feeling. The feeling is when we actually can truly step into our heart. And what I've realized and what I've learned literally in the last month, 2 months, as I'm navigating my own challenges, is that if we are stuck in our backbone, I need to get shit done, right? I'm a dad. My now ex-partner relies on me for support financially. So I need to get shit done. I have responsibilities. I need to be able to grit my teeth, wake up every day and get after it. That is a necessity for my survival, her survival, and my son's survival. However, what I didn't realize and now realize is that a lot of the chains that I felt, a lot of the lack of motivation or the slowness or the sludge or the depression or the anxiety or the stress or the heaviness that I was feeling as I was trying to force my way as a man through that could have been solved if I just stepped into my heart, felt what I needed to feel. And for not everyone, but I would say for majority of people, that does mean crying, because crying releases specific hormones that help us deal with trauma. Now, trauma is a widely overused term, but we all know what I hopefully mean when I say trauma. It could be big T trauma, as I call it, big T, which is probably where our heads go to, but it can also be little T trauma, right? Abandonment as a child, feeling unloved, whatever it is that our parents did to us as kids, which if you're a parent listening, every parent has done something, right? Unintentional, of course. But big T, little T, crying really helps. But I always associated the heart, because I read about this in... It's not behind me. I read about this in one of Steve Bidulph's books, Raising Boys into Men or something. It's over there, I think. He talked about the balance between backbone and heart. And I always thought, yeah, I'm in my heart, right? That's what I'm doing. But I was thinking, I was in my head. I was not in my heart. So what does that look like? Feeling, crying, literally taking your awareness, dropping into your body and seeking out discomfort in your body. For me, so much of it is around my diaphragm, seeking that out and feeling my way through it. Now, how does that work alongside the backbone piece? So for me, I'm very clear on what I need to do every day. I have my habits. I've got an Excel spreadsheet that I use that tracks all of them. And what you'll notice is that, what I've noticed, and if you do this practice, what you will notice, if you are measuring things and tracking things like I am, it was very splotchy, very inconsistent in the way that I was showing up. I could run a sprint. I could not run a marathon, and life is a marathon. What I've noticed over the last 2-3 weeks, as I've dropped into my heart and I've felt and I have cried more in the last 2-3 weeks than I have in my entire life, and I'm 30 years old, is that my consistency to show up in my backbone is unparalleled, unmatched. And I no longer have this heaviness, the chains that have held me down for my entire life that made the discipline aspect actually a lot harder for me to do. And so how do I do this? Back to that question. I have my behaviors that I want to do, right? A part of that is 8 hours of work every day, right? Monday through Sunday, 8 hours a day. So I'm tracking that. What happens is now that I'm starting to actually feel all of my bad habits that I was using to numb myself from my emotions are dropping away. So I have time and space instead of being on my phone scrolling. Excuse me. Instead of being on my phone and scrolling at night, jumping on Netflix, watching TV shows, movies, or jumping on Crunchyroll for those who watch anime, you know, I'm a big anime nerd. Instead of doing those things, I'm now spending my night times, instead of running away from my thoughts, instead of running away from my emotions, I am sitting in my emotions. I am feeling them. And I am now showing up as a much better person, as a much better man. And that's the heart piece that I was missing for so long in my life. right? I could get the backbone piece, but it was inconsistent. I thought I had the head piece because I was very self-aware. I knew why I did things, but I kept doing them. I knew what was going on underneath the surface, yet I was still stuck in repeating patterns. So where have all the good men gone? I've just given, hopefully, a good definition of what a good man is, the balance between heart and backbone, right? A servant leader, okay? And maybe I'll do another podcast diving deep on what a servant leader is. So we want to be a good man, not nice guys. Every single young man, every single husband, every single mother that is raising a boy needs to go and read the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover. Unbelievable read, has completely changed my life. And I think at least 90% of men fall into the nice guy category. And that is not the same as a good man. There are stark differences. Okay. So we look to our political leaders, we look to our sporting heroes, we go online, we look at mentors, and there are very, very few good men. Why? Well, one reason is that it's very difficult to be a good man. It's very difficult to be in touch with your heart and have the ability to do difficult things, step out of your comfort zone, develop some grit and resilience. It's difficult to do one of those things, let alone two. And so men are really being asked to step up, but men aren't stepping up. Why? Well, because we've had generations now of this nice guy, generations of men uninitiated by other men into manhood, then teaching the next generation of men how to be men, but not doing a very good job of it because they never learnt how to be heart-led and resilient. Okay? So I spoke about in this newsletter, entering into the fifth generation of nice guys with little course correction going on. I won't go into details of the making of the nice guy, but I will touch on the childhood abandonment, needing love and seeking out love and approval, mainly from women, but other people. It bleeds into all areas of life. So what were the social dynamics that happened in the 20th century that have led to a lot of people asking this question of where the good men go? So we transitioned from an agrarian to an industrial economy. So what that means is most of us were on farms working alongside our dads and men in the community, and then we moved to cities where we became very isolated. The nuclear family became very, very much just relying upon the mother and the father to be everything for their kids. The movement of families from rural areas to urban areas, the absence of fathers from the homes, fathers no longer were at home teaching their boys how to be men. They went away to work. The increase in divorce, single parent homes, and homes headed by women, right? Boys largely are being raised by women now. So what does that mean? It means that they are getting their definition for masculinity from women, and they are learning how to appease women from a very young age. If you grow up in a single parent home right now, it is probably a single mother home. If you grow up in a family where two parents are working, if you're growing up in a family where even you have a stay-at-home mom and the dad is working, the single commonality between all of them is that the dad is no longer around as much. Women are heading up the home. And so when we go away to school in the traditional public school system or the private school system, doesn't matter. I had zero primary school teachers that were male. Zero, right? There were some floating around, but they weren't my teachers. When I got to high school, it evened itself out a bit. I went to a private boys' school, so there were quite a lot of male teachers. But again, it's predominantly those formative years, 0 to 7, 0 to 12. We as men are being defined, our masculinity is being defined by women. And this is a massive, massive challenge. Men are the only ones who can define masculinity and pass that down. Healthy masculinity, I must say. Women's liberation, feminism, the Vietnam War, and the sexual revolution. All of these things were the social dynamics in the 20th century that led to the nice guy syndrome, right? Boys were separated from their fathers and other significant male role models. As a result, men became disconnected from other men in general and confused as to what it meant to be a male. Boys were left to be raised by women. The job of turning boys into men was left to mothers and a school system dominated by women. As a result, men became comfortable being defined by women and became dependent on the approval of women. Radical feminism implied that men were bad and/or unnecessary. The messages of radical feminism furthered the belief of many men that if they wanted to be loved and get their needs met, they had to become what they believed women wanted them to be. For many men, this meant trying to hide any traits that might cause them to be labeled as bad men. Right? So you can see the issue here. You start to disassociate from your masculinity because it's bad, and you start to look to women on how to define it, and you become a nice guy. You start to chase women's approval, and you start to chase the approval of your friends. You start to chase the approval of the main context, the main societal messaging. And so it bleeds out into all of these areas. And I'm speaking from experience. I am an absolute nice guy in recovery. If you'd asked me 4 weeks ago if I was a nice guy, I'd be like, no, that's not me. But this book completely blew my entire world apart. Okay, I cannot recommend it high. I've recommended it to 3 friends. They've all read it. They've loved it. They're working on themselves as well. And what that working themselves mean is coming back to a layer and a lens of doing things through my needs, doing things through my desires, rather than saying, I'm not worthy of love, I'm bad, and doing things for other people. So if you are a mother listening right now, and you have an inkling that, oh crap, I really am playing into this narrative for my son, get the book. Get the book, read more on it. I'm not going to go into more details right now or deep dive on it right now on the podcast, but it's awesome. And it starts with the mothers, right? It starts with trying to appease mums, worry about their emotions, and take on the responsibility of the mother's emotional state. And dads, if you're sitting there going like, oh, yeah, that's my wife, guess what? That means you're a nice guy because you are not standing up for your sons and you are not putting yourself between your sons and the mother. And I don't say any of this from a place of malice that you guys listening are bad people or whatever. My parents are great, great people, but we all have stuff that we're working on. And a lot of us are unconscious about the things that we need to work on. They are blind spots. So I'm not saying there's any malice. I'm saying this with love so that you can hopefully illuminate a blind spot if this applies to you and work on yourself. But dads, you need to be the one that says, hang on, we're not going to make it our kids' responsibility to take care of our emotional state. That's not how this works. We're the adults here. We take care of our emotional state, okay? But for boys listening, I highly recommend you going to read this book. It's also on Spotify. You can listen to the audio book because it's going to really help you step into this good man archetype, because a good man knows the difference between right and wrong, because he's not trying to appease other people. He's internally making decisions from his value system. And if you couple that with good male role models and you couple that with good values and a good community, it means that your sons are having their, it means that you young men, sorry, are having your values vetted by the men in your community and being pulled up by the men in your community. And then you are able to adopt those values yourself and then start to make decisions from there. And that's what's really, really crucial. That's where the nice guy doesn't do that. He might know what the good thing to do is, the right thing, but he's so afraid of being shunned, of not being loved, of playing into this childhood story that they are not enough, that it's impossible for them to be good men, because whoever they're around, they'll change. They'll become a chameleon. Okay. And that was me. I used to pride myself on that. Oh, I can fit in anywhere. And now at 30 years old, I'm realizing I don't want to fit in anywhere, because what ends up happening is you lose your own identity in the process. You don't know what you stand for, and you don't know how to stand up for yourself. You don't know how to stand up for your values. So it's crucial that we start to reclaim our power as men and start to go, hang on, I know this to be wrong, or I know this to be right, and that's how I'm going to behave. And it's fucking scary. It is a scary thing to do, to start to filter things through your own lens, right? Because as children, we need our parents to be good parents. We need our dads to be good men. We need our mothers to be good mothers, right? But as I said, we all have our challenges. We all have our blind spots. We all have our things that we pass down to our kids. And if you are listening to this, no matter what age it is, it's your personal responsibility to work through those things and not pass them on to other people, right? We don't want to bleed on those that haven't cut us. So then back to the nice guy, back to where are the good men? So Due to the shame, this is really interesting. Due to the shame modern men feel and their ineffective survival mechanisms to roadmap, most men follow. Sorry, let me read it again. Due to the shame modern men feel and their ineffective survival mechanisms, the roadmap that most men follow just won't take them where they want to go. They're frustrated. This is me. I was frustrated. Why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? I'm trying. I'm doing everything right. I'm doing this. Blah, blah, I'm a good person. Blah, blah, blah. Still getting hurt. Life is difficult. But rather than trying something different, their life paradigm requires that they keep trying harder, doing more of the same. The modern man prevents himself from being a good man by seeking the approval of others, trying to hide their perceived flaws and mistakes, putting other people's needs and wants before their own, sacrificing their personal power and playing the role of a victim, disassociating themselves from other men and their own masculine energy, co-creating relationships that are less than satisfying, failing to live up to their potential. I want to go back to putting other people's needs and wants before their own. Because, wait, Dylan, didn't you say that men need to be servants? Yes, we do. The healthy man is a servant to the community, but that is their needs and wants, right? I want to be a servant. I need to be a servant, right? But I'm going to do my service from a place of personal power, not from a place of victim mentality or victim energy. Okay, I'm not going to do it for anything in return. I'm going to do it because this is who I am. These are the values that I think make up a good man. And that is why I will serve my community, serve my family, serve my friends. And we can go real deep on the service part of what that actually looks like, etc. But maybe I'll do that, as I said, on another podcast. So what are the solutions? How can we start to bring awareness to our nice guy tendencies or start to work on ourselves in this area? Brotherhoods. If you do not have a brotherhood, if you do not have a mentor, go and seek one out. Go and seek one out. Boys, I will post a link in the podcast description to my free community called The Brotherhood. Please join it. I'm from today onwards going to be really pushing this community, okay? But men need a brotherhood. And again, we've lost that. Take the stereotypical Australian male that gets into a relationship or gets married. What are the jokes that we see online? It's like, oh, we never see him again. He's not around. Oh, he's got to check in with his missus and ask for permission to do things. That's not a healthy relationship, okay? A man needs his brotherhood. He needs time away to spend with his friends because what happens is iron sharpens iron. Men, healthy men, hold the other men accountable to their actions. But if we have a generation, if we have a society of nice guys, what ends up happening is that I don't want to challenge my friend on any bad behaviors because what if he leaves me, he abandons me, he doesn't love me, I have no friends and I'm alone. Childhood wound. So we need the good men to stand up and start to lead the way and start to serve their communities and start to create these brotherhoods and say, hey, I think I've got this stuff figured out. I'm still working on it, but come, I'm going to come and I'm going to challenge you on your beliefs. I'm going to challenge you on how you're showing up and I'm going to force you through fire to become a good man. And then that is the role of the mentor, right? So you all need men above you, the mentors, next to you, your peers or your brotherhood, and then below you, people that you can mentor and your mentees. You need those three type of people in there. Okay, that is the solution. Parents, if you're listening to this, get your sons in the brotherhood. Get them in the Prince to King pod, into the Prince to King mentorship. It is a necessity. It is not some sort of nice luxury. It is something that we always had for all of mankind. And we have lost that in the last 100 years. And when you look at mental illnesses, you look at the depression epidemic, you look at the loneliness epidemic that men are facing, you look at how they're doing at university, at school, you look at their health, you look at their physical health, their mental health, their spiritual health, their emotional health, you look at every area that men are performing in, and they are performing significantly less than their fathers, than their grandfathers. And what I'm seeing is this merging of the modern man, because we went from all backbone the last 20 years or the last 15 years has been all heart right? Oh, you need to feel. And women were telling men to feel, right? Now we need to bring the two together. We need a good union, and we do that through brotherhood and through mentorship. Thank you very much. That is all for today. Prince to King podcast is back. I think I'll be doing weekly, maybe twice a week. We'll see how we go. Until next time.